Hey, dude.
Good morning. How's it going?
Good. Is Ryan joining us today?
He said he was watching Why, but not because he wants to do the Darmlars. He just wants to watch Why.
Sounds like him.
Yeah, that's very believable.
Oh, man. I just got finished doing a Why video. And they're kind of stressful,
right.
Which they shouldn't be. It's the same thing like we're doing now. Like, I don't go and edit this, really.
Right.
I put in music before and after, and then it's literally no different. The only difference is...
You're talking live right now.
Yeah.
You know, like...
So the only difference is I drop the music at the beginning and at the end to start the show and end the show.
Yeah.
And then there's a chat area for me to look at if in case anybody wants to say anything. But for some reason, it feels so much more stressful.
It's psychological because you know that people
totally.
Are listening. It's all about you knowing it. Like, and I mean, I guess the
no one's listening to this, so it's a little bit easier to.
That's right. It takes a lot of the pressure off.
James and Kirk, which I still don't have any sort of confirmation that Kirk still listens.
That's true. So it might be just James.
Yeah.
We have at least 3 listeners, though, because you and I listen to the show.
That's right. Did I listen? I listened to all last week's. It helps me. I don't know why.
It does. For me, it helps me with things like, okay, you coughed too much, or you better back off and let other people talk. You know, just giving myself notes.
Yeah. And just see if I come off as sarcastic. I don't want people thinking like I hate Why the Last Man.
Right.
So I want to make sure that if we want anybody to get the wrong impression, they don't like the show.
You would hate to give that idea.
There is... Ryan, we're talking about Why the Last Man. Nothing brought me greater joy yesterday than seeing that fade to black. and the credits come up. I was like, all right, yeah.
It's over.
The next episode started playing, and I was like, let's just rip the Band-Aid off. Let's do it right now. And if we didn't have this show right now, I probably would have watched it. Yeah.
You can just play it in the background.
I want to pay attention to the twist that makes everything, all previous 9 episodes, worthwhile.
Worth your while.
Yeah.
It was
recording
like
in progress.
Got it.
Jesus. Hold on. Got it.
It felt like a short episode, too. At one point, I remember looking at the timestamp thinking, oh, gosh, it's almost over. Which is not something you do when you're enjoying something. You don't check the timestamp to be like, oh, how much more do I get to enjoy of this?
My favorite thing is on the Apple TV. If you tap the little pad twice, it tells you the actual time it ends.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So it's like, oh, man, by 8:30, it'll all be over.
I'm done with this.
And that's it. I'm not going to sit and watch the credits, so... Even that is like what I'm saying. I don't like this show.
That's like another 2 minutes or so that you don't have to go through.
Yeah.
Did you guys see? I don't know if you've been on Twitter this morning, but James Sefner retweeted a tweet from Rainn Wilson.
Yeah,
I did not. What did it say?
It's him and Missy Pyle. Apparently, they're working together again on something.
Oh yeah.
And so they've recreated a picture of them from Galaxy Quest. So relevant to our interests.
Yeah.
Is Rainn Wilson in the show?
No.
No.
Just that we've talked about Galaxy Quest.
Because she's in it. Because Missy Pyle's in it.
Oh, I understand that. Okay.
I finished Detroiters again.
Again. That's funny.
Is that like a YA novel series or what is that?
It's about Nickelodeon.
Oh, that sounds right up my alley.
You should watch episode 5. It's a good one.
I should. Maybe I'll do that today.
That's, you know, like, that's your reward for having to watch Why.
Yeah, it's sort of the sorbet, the palate cleanser for having watched this.
Go ahead.
No, please.
Today is my family's Thanksgiving. many, many years ago, my mom realized she had three boys and we were all going to be dating people and be, you know, going in different directions on holidays. So she decided that they would just move Thanksgiving and we just put it whenever it's convenient. So we're doing it today. But one of her boys won't be coming because he's in the hospital right now with his wife who's giving birth.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so I'm going to have another nephew.
I mean, if you're going to have an excuse to miss out on Thanksgiving.
That's a rock solid one. Yeah. Yeah. I wish I'd thought of it.
So you're going to start up your rice business?
I guess I have to, yeah.
All right.
I'm an uncle by marriage. This will be my first uncle by biology.
That's cool. Uncle Ben Ryan.
I got it.
Okay.
But is it still called Uncle Ben?
It's
not called Uncle Ben anymore. It's called like Ben's Rice or something, which you could have always done if they just met you at the wrong time.
Ben's Original.
There we go.
Bad connotation?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another podcast. We're not going to do that here.
Is it because of like the character in Tom Sawyer?
Not.
Wait, what character are you talking about?
I think you're talking
the word
about
uncle wrong.
Yeah, the word uncle is wrong in that situation. Yeah, because he's not specifically someone's uncle. It's just a name to refer to a slave, like a.
Huh.
So it's got the bad connotations there.
Got it.
For an enslaved person.
Got it.
But now it's Ben's original. Well, shoot, I'm still going to be Uncle Ben. I can't change that. But now the only reference is Spider-Man's uncle. That doesn't sound too good to me.
you've got some years ahead of you.
Yeah.
Uncle Ben, famous character that does not appear much in Marvel Comics for some reason.
I mean, he was in... Is he going to be in the next reboot?
Well, God knows they have to tell the story over and over, right?
They didn't the last time, and I was very happy about that. It's just like, hey, I'm Spider-Man. I'm going to do my spider shit. Boom.
That's right. Yeah. he appears for the first time in the MCU, like, fully formed in the fight at the airport.
Spider-Man.
You know, Spider-Man, yeah. I don't think... There's definitely stuff later on. I don't remember if it's post-credits or, like, extra features where you see him and Tony Stark meet for the first time. And he explains... Yeah. You know, why his eyes open and shut.
Fan casting. Who would be Uncle Ben in the MCU?
Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci's married to what's your nuts?
To Marissa Tomei.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. I was just thinking, yeah, like who would she be married to?
The two Utes.
Joe Pesci.
I'm all for it.
I wanted to say his name so bad, and I stuttered over it so quickly. I was trying to say Jimmy Pesci. I was so convinced his name was Jimmy Pesci that when I said Joe Pesci, I thought, oh, man, I fucked up.
No, that's okay. Good job, man. No, you got it. Good for you.
Good old Jimmy Pesci. Did you guys see all these announcements from Disney Plus Day yesterday?
Too many. Sure. Too many announcements.
Way a lot of announcements. It's true.
So many logos.
I did like that. Will Smith's new show is called Welcome to Earth. I thought that was
I haven't gotten through that one yet.
It's like the second thing they showed.
I was following it on Twitter, and then I went on Disney Plus last night, and I was watching the studio reveals because they were broken out by studios.
Uh-huh.
And I had all day to kind of absorb what I was seeing on Twitter, but watching the Marvel one, where they so they spend like the first 9 minutes recapping everything that's happened on Marvel Disney Plus this year. Then they give a teaser for Hawkeye and whatever comes after Hawkeye.
Moon Knight.
And then they reveal the title cards of 90,000 new shows that are coming in a matter of like 30 seconds. And it's almost like a joke. It's almost like, if that was my first exposure to it, I may have had a seizure. Like, it was too much information to process.
It's a lot going on.
And I'm not even, like, a huge Marvel fan in terms of, like, the lore and the comic books and everything like that. Like,
you're probably the only one of the three of us that went and saw Eternals.
Oh, I sure did.
That is true.
I did, but that was for for entertaining a chicken child wings? And trying to come up with an activity and chicken wings for chicken tenders and laser eye mask.
Oh, do you have a report? Laser eye mask report.
I mean, I don't know enough about because there's the format and then there's the lasers. All I know is that
was it like a planetarium?
Yes, it's exactly like that, and it's all Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon. So they recreate the entire movie in, like, stick figures that are kind of flashing and blinking. No, it's I really don't know, and I'm sure Wikipedia can explain it way better than I could. But, again, my assumption is instead of a bulb, it's a laser, and it does laser shit. But during the previews and everything looked really muddy and murky, and I was like, oh, this isn't much different than a normal movie. Then when the feature started, it was very, very clear, that there was a difference. But again, I don't know if that's because of the projector or the IMAX format or whatever.
I think they're trying to like show you, oh, look how normal stuff looks. It looks so bad. And then it's like, oh, here, look at this. This is what laser IMAX does.
That's right. It's intentional. They were sandbagging the trailers.
And probably, like they do at, like, demos at Circuit City or Silo, or where, like, they would say, look at how crappy a VCR is. Yeah, Zodies. What was I going to say? I did notice that the aspect ratio jumped around during the feature.
Whoa.
But I couldn't really figure out.
Is it just because of the IMAX? So they shoot some stuff regular, and they shoot action stuff in IMAX.
Right, so and I know that that's regular. What Nolan did for whichever Batman movie it was, but like,
yeah, and they did in Tron Legacy.
Well, Tron Legacy, it was all in IMAX, but the real world scenes were 2D, and the computer world scenes were 3D, and that was amazing.
But it was still still a shift in aspect ratio too, though.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Yeah. They did a really good job editing.
I was also taking a lot of Vicodin at the time because I had just come back from Germany and was incredibly injured and in great pain. So I may not have been paying attention. But I couldn't find out the rhyme or reason.
That was for Tron, not Eternals.
For Tron. Yeah. No, not for Eternals. I wish I had Vicodin for Eternals.
You were just in Germany?
No, it was not just in Germany. This is anyway. So, I couldn't figure out the end credit scenes were noticeably not fully in IMAX, but I didn't really notice when it would jump from one to another. And we were sitting pretty close to the screen, so it was noticeable. Anyway, the film looked great.
Cool.
And in fact, I'm going to spend the extra money to see Ghostbusters Afterlife. In IMAX laser, pew pew.
I'm seeing Ghostbusters Afterlife in IMAX.
Nice.
I don't know if any lasers are involved.
Well, keep us posted, please.
I'm seeing it on Thursday.
Are we ready? You're ready? Got it planned. I know I should probably not see that one at the drive-in.
Do not see that one at the drive-in.
It's going to be
probably too dark. Yeah.
Yep.
Ben and I have been to the drive-in frequently with each other, and while the company is always great, the movie watching experience is always subpar, and I always feel like I've never really, like, I have to go back and see a movie that I've seen at the drive-in to appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's true.
Because we congregate outside our cars, like we sit and watch so we can talk and chat it up and hang out with the kids. But there's also like a fucking train yard right next to the drive-in theater, which wouldn't bother anybody if they stayed inside their cars. But like, I can't hear half the movie because there's fucking 3 mile long trains rolling by. Yeah.
I was going to say, we're talking about aspect ratios changing, and I like the idea of that happening for a purpose. You know, to display this is the real world, this is the computer world. I don't like how you were explaining that it happens just because it's action versus non-action. That seems like that would be, if I noticed it, it would take me out of it. I'm not guaranteeing that I would notice it because
there's not an artistic reason justifying it. It's almost like a filming logistic scene, which is true. Like, We knew that from the original Tron because they filmed it and set the whole thing in 70 millimeter, and doing a scene with close-ups and dialogue and everything was a logistic challenge in within that format. Yeah.
But
like what was the cinematographer is like, okay, you have a choice. His left eye can be in focus or his right eye can be in focus. Like, okay. And yeah. I think they adapted the movie as best they could to that, but like, you could see it's composed very weird and there's not a lot of scenes with multiple people in it, like up close.
Well,
yeah, that is pretty great.
That's a good point. The one thing I want to say though, like in terms of what we were just talking about this morning, Galaxy Quest has an aspect ratio shift moment from like the first, I think it's the first time Tim Allen sees actual outer space. It goes from, I don't know if it was 3 to 4, but it there's definitely a change in the aspect ratio at that point. I remember that being a thing.
Or like whatever Sam Raimi's Wizard of Oz movie was.
Oh, the
they did. Great, they went from Oz. Yeah, they went from 4x3 in the Kansas scenes to widescreen in the Oz scenes. But what was great was the transition between the 4x3 in Kansas when they show him in the tornado in the balloon. And the objects in the 4x3 will go beyond the mat. And so they start popping out outside of that 4x3 and then it starts expanding. Like it's a really cool.
That's cool.
Like fun messing with that, the aspect ratio.
It's very similar to like the Wizard of Oz starting off in black and white and becoming color. It's using those tools in an interesting way. And also as I'm looking up at the drive-in here to see, what's upcoming? There's a movie coming out called The 355 in honor of Agent 355, apparently.
What?
Yeah. Five women band together to stop a global organization from acquiring a weapon that could thrust the teetering world into total chaos. The 355.
And that's who does it feature?
It features Sebastian Stan, Jessica Chastain, Lupita Nyong'o.
These are A-listers. I have not heard of this film.
This is it's a real movie, right?
Oh, great.
an action spy film. Okay, well, I like action spies.
Do you have anything to say about this episode?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I do.
Is it in a bullet pointed list that we can just fly through real quick?
I can knock them out super fast if you want.
This episode was a big step back for me from last week.
Yep.
This is the penultimate episode.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. It's called episode 9 of Y is called Peppers. And by the way, what's up?
Ryan's. No, I'm trying to figure out. This is completely visual and should not be discussed.
Oh, podcast, I thought you were raising your hand.
But my light sensor is, I'm completely in silhouette. But like, if I raise my arm, I become perfectly focused. Yeah. Ralph, please edit this out. This wasn't worthwhile.
No way, man. We're doing it live. Yeah. I had a hard time finding my notes online, so I'll just look at them on my phone. So sorry, I'm not looking at my phone. So the episode's called Peppers, and remember I was talking about the Sublime song, Suck My Kiss.
Yes, we do. I do remember that.
And I
was
actually
thinking about that last night as I was going to bed. Like, I was rubbing my pillow, and I was like, oh, I remember when Ben thought that was great.
And so I told Harmony, I'm like, oh, you know, this episode makes me think of the Sublime song. And she's like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's Pampers. The woman went to the store and she came out with some Pampers, like diapers.
Okay, so we have Paramount and Bear Mountain, and now we have Peppers and Pampers.
But here's the twist. I looked up the lyrics to confirm that they were indeed talking about Pampers and found out that they are indeed talking about Bear Mountain, according to the lyrics I saw online.
Here's the deal. There are both lyrics are online because I have 100% looked this up before, and you can find both of Bear Mountain and Paramount. And Paramount logistically makes way more sense.
I guess so. But also, I just say diapers. I don't know. Pampers is fine. He got it right. I just always thought it was Peppers. And so now this episode.
I 1,000% have thought it was Peppers for the past 25 years.
You know, there's got some peppers. You need peppers to cook with.
To cook with. It seemed weird that she wouldn't get like a protein and a starch to go with them. Like, but yeah, that's.
I thought at the time, I thought it was about a woman who everyone's rioting. And she's like, well, I still need peppers. I forgot to get peppers for dinner.
Yeah, like something insignificant. Like,
right. But now it's
it was
a woman
just a
that's
routine
like,
daily thing.
Yeah, but it's actually about a woman that's trying to get like a basic necessity. And it's well, a little bit more poignant, I guess. And that's why that's my analysis of the song April 29th, 1992. Okay, here's my bullet points. I said that why is the last mansplainer?
All right.
Because he actually ends up mansplaining jail to the convicts.
The other thing that kind of popped in my mind for that whole tableau is, you know, the phrase, you know, I wouldn't fuck you if you were the last, or I wouldn't have sex with you or go on a date with you if you're the last man on earth.
Yes.
I legitimately don't know why anybody is interested in him, even though he is the last man on earth.
Yeah. I get
that. there was the part where he was like dancing or something, uh-huh. And like the ladies are looking at him. They're like, I guess,
right. Well, that's the point. That's the point. Yeah, because there's a whole village here of these convicts, and one of them is kind of into him.
That's what I love about like The Last Man on Earth, is that we're stuck with Tandy.
Right.
You know, we're stuck with... But then at some point, there was a whole storyline that happened between seasons that we didn't get to see involving John Hamm. Where, like season 3 opens with John Hamm talking about how great this summer's been, and then he gets, like, shot in the chest. And so, it's like that kind of stuff I love. Like
he did the same thing on Parks and Rec. He shows up after the time skip and Leslie fires him and he's like, well, it's been a good 3 years, guys.
Yeah. Now maybe I'm getting mixed up, but I know I swear John Hamm's on Last Man on Earth, one episode.
I wasn't trying to get you mixed up.
But I think that's what's happening though. But he doesn't make it.
Yeah, because
there's a couple of people like that. I think Martin Short's in an episode.
That's really funny that the level of guest stars, it's like Gilligan's Island where there's supposed to be nobody.
They're like the guest stars on Police Squad, essentially.
Oh, okay.
Who die in the opening credits.
Who die in the opening credits.
Yeah.
I like that show.
Let's talk about that show instead.
Let's talk about Police Squad. So there's the woman that is sort of into Y. First, she's trying to make sure that it's okay with 355 because people can tell if you like someone in TV. They can just look at you and be like, well, how long have you liked him? And there's been nothing 355 has shown us to indicate that she likes anyone.
Yes. It's the opposite of the reality that's being presented to us. Everybody's like, oh, somebody's got a crush.
Yeah, it's just read in. You have to believe it. And I'm trying to think about this.
You don't have to believe it. That's the thing. That's right.
They're asking you to believe it. And I'm trying to think about the scene. And in my head, I'm thinking, I don't even know this character's name. Like, the last time I saw her was more than an episode ago.
Yeah.
And I just need someone to call her by name real quick. As much as I say on the show that I'm not an idiot, I don't need things slammed over my head. I do need you to call characters by their name every now and then.
Yeah, don't be so hard on yourself. You're an idiot.
So, a couple things. Oh, well, I need to bring up idiots in a little bit. Right. A couple things. At the end of the episode, Stevie says, who's this girl? Am I supposed to know who she is? And I said, that's Beth. Ben asked me that same question a couple weeks ago. So, okay, there's that. But, okay, you posed a question last week, Ryan, and you felt I should have taken it out of the episode, asking about if the Amazon is just from a group of idiots and
yes. Yeah, that was regrettable, but yes.
But this episode completely justifies your question, because they are idiots.
They are.
Well, I mean, they are idiots. It's just the implication of why they're together and what the commonality between all of them and that, like, that, that's.
But it's not your fault. It's not your fault for wondering if they're an Idiots Anonymous. It's the show's fault.
for showing their idiocy. For smashing all the food and dumping out all the water.
Why did they even have to explain in the first place not to destroy the food?
It's right. Like, smashy, smashy. It's fun. Like, they've got that card table with all the pictures on it. Smash it. Fuck it. But that's water, man.
The most primal instinct there is. Civilization exists because of food. People were tired of roaming. And they develop farming.
You just
and
lost your Costco.
It's yes.
Yeah. It's like, why you're not at the Costco anymore.
It's because you want to find food.
It is the stupidest thing. And how much do you have to fucking hate corn pops? Anyway, if you had a ton of food, let's say you had all the food in the world and you had no motivation to keep the corn pops, why would you fuck up corn pops? Why would you fuck up anything like that?
Right.
It's so dumb. Yeah. Gotta have their pops.
She got them all. What we're meant to derive from this is that Roxanne's control of these women is so complete that she whipped them up into such a frenzy that they weren't thinking. You know, that they've just gone wild. Because they're idiots, yeah. And then it's also to show us the dynamic between Roxanne and Nora, which they're going to have no time to explore. Are they setting us up for like a
it's done.
They're opposing each other, who's going to take over the Amazons sort of thing.
I was thinking if this show doesn't get picked up, like, no, it'd be if they can't get picked up, maybe they can like finish up the story in a comic book.
Why season two?
Yeah. I mean, they were completely thinking they were going to get more than one season.
Yes, they were.
And it feels like they're ready to tell some story that they thought they had all the time in the world to tell.
Right.
Nope. But
Mac and me will be back.
they're hoping to find another venue, I think. At least that's what the showrunner was saying when it was.
I'm going
to
let everybody know right now.
Yes.
If they do find that venue, I am not watching it.
That's fair.
Okay.
One season's good enough for me. They were dancing at the farm there with the convicts, and they were dancing to No Scrubs by TLC, right? TLC?
It's a little on the nose. A little on the nose.
There are no scrubs left. You know, just why? Why the last scrub?
You don't want them? Well, you don't have them. The other thing is, and this kind of goes to the earlier thing about like 355 being, she has one sole purpose. She's focused, whatever. But man, the one thing that could get to her, the one thing that could break her down is TLC, apparently. That's the great unifier.
Breaks through her defenses. And so we had hints in this episode, so tantalizing little hints of 355's training and conversion and all that, but just not nearly enough. If this episode had not had the Amazons in it, maybe we could have done like we did last week and shown us what happened to 355 instead of just like a couple of things here and there where clearly she gets dropped off somewhere.
Yeah. Does it culminate in anything? And it didn't even lead to anything like a cliffhanger. Like, oh, I can't wait for this to resolve.
It's just this little flashes
conversation in this fluorescent lit room where nothing's really going. It was so weird.
Yeah.
What's exposition when it's not exposition?
wasting my time. Yeah, exactly.
Can I say something positive?
Yeah.
No.
I really liked all the 1950s inspired hand painted signs at the men's museum, but
so did I.
Somebody had some really good hand painted sign skills.
Yeah, no, for sure.
You don't see that anymore. Not since the sandwich boards of the 1930s. Like somebody, either they got a house industries font set or something, or they just have skill. But that was very nice. All the banners were very well done.
I liked that whole thing. I thought it was a great idea. The Hall of Voices was really cool, and the way they had it set up, which is tied in the peppers. one of the voicemails was was one of the voicemails was the guy asking whether they wanted the woman wanted red or green peppers. I just like the woman on stage doing storytelling, the people with all the pictures of, they even had like a suit on a hanger so you could go and be like, oh, I remember 2 months ago when there were suits.
Yeah, it seems like even in kind of like Barnstormer like manifestation, it still seems a little early for that.
It is a bit early, yeah. But,
like, didn't we just get our first COVID memorial, like all the flags just like a month ago?
I did not even know about that, yeah.
But I don't know, it seems a little quick. And well, I was like, thinking, like, is the Hall of Presidents, would that be like the most popular thing in the world right now? If this is to believe, I'm going to go into a room and see 45 men talk.
Yeah.
That's really what I want right now.
Probably
it'll
not.
Probably be the, it'll, that'll be probably one of the one places with power, like energy.
Uh-huh.
I feel like they just decide when things have electricity or not.
It's kind of like, I'm thinking about how quickly they got this Museum of Demand going, which I really liked it. I thought it was cool and it was an interesting idea.
It was cool.
It's like in Demolition Man where he's frozen for like, what, 30 years? Mm-hmm. And then there's a guy who's like 40 who calls him a Cro-Magnon. Like, come on, dude.
They keep calling him this old man and he's like one of the guys is still around. Like his partner's around. Like there's still people around that he knew.
He's not from like the Ice Age.
No, but they talk about him like he is.
He's as old as your grandma. He's like, he's frozen for less time than Captain America.
Yeah.
Although I will say, I think Captain America adapts it maybe a bit too quickly in the MCU. Like they don't really explore that aspect, but that's neither here nor
bad
there.
Bad storytelling.
Right. Don't touch the fucking corn pops. Ryan texted me when the corn pop scene was happening. Or us, both of us.
Oh, did I get that? Oh, I have 14 messages. I just did a thing.
It's an ignore me.
Oh, yeah, you were busy. Yeah. It reminded me of Lost where with Rose and Bernard about like where to put the cereal. The corn pops go on the left. I think that we had this... this is a typical three storyline episode. So we've got Y and B-55 and Dr. Man. We've got the Amazons, and then we've back at the Pentagon, where a lot of shit happened. It was a busy episode at the Pentagon.
And didn't care. I didn't care.
So
it's like forced. It's like forced action. It's forced tension, which never felt tense. It never felt dramatic. The whole thing for me is we talk about time and how much time has passed. And it feels like the Y storyline and the hero storyline is something that would happen maybe 2 or 3 years after the event.
Uh-huh.
And so like this men's museum thing.
Right.
Like would happen like years down the road. But I think the problem is with the show is that they wanted to tell this political storyline and you can't do that 2 years down the road.
No, it has to be continuous.
It has to be soon after because we still have the vice president. Was it Roxanne? What's that lady's name?
Regina Oliver?
Regina Oliver. Her.
She was like a secretary, one of the secretaries.
Right.
Like so, not like a receptionist. I mean,
no,
like,
no, you said
no,
it.
No, no, you said it.
A stewardess. You mean like a stewardess.
She was in the steno pool.
But the thing is, it's like you can't tell that story with her still alive, you know, years down the road.
Right.
So I think they wanted to tell this storyline so bad that they had to move everything else up in time to 63 days later. And then the rest of the stuff doesn't make sense with the Y story. And so like, I'm like, okay, well they must have some juicy stuff that's going to happen. This power struggle between, what's her name again?
Regina Oliver and President Lane.
And President Lane. So like, I'm like, okay, what's going to happen? And then in this episode, they just kill Regina Oliver and it's like, okay, well, what was the point?
Right. And she was there.
That made me happy.
she was there to give Amber Tamblyn standing, and now she's not there. And they had their coup, and it was in process when some other faction that Beth is in, with motivations I don't know, decides to blow up the Pentagon and kidnap everybody. It's a lot late in the game for Beth to come back and be part of something that you haven't explained to me, I think. And it was it was good to see when Amber Tamblyn and Diane Lane are facing off, when they're finally trying to have the coup, the tension between them and again the great performances. But it was like it was happening in a vacuum, like you said. They were acting their asses off, but why? Because what's happening? What are we even dealing with here? What am I supposed to be invested in? And then it all gets shut down. Oh, and that's the other thing is they're mad at the women that are supporting President Lane are upset with her because Amber Tamblyn reveals that Y is still alive and that she kept that a secret from them. Is that a reason to stop being president? You know,
maybe.
You don't even stop being president if you incite a treasonous insurrection against the government.
Yeah.
No, I agree. In the context of the show, it makes sense, like, because it is just, it's a room full of 20 people.
Right.
And it's enough to erode their trust. And if there are whispers of conspiracy, I support that somewhat, because it's not a full functioning government with all the processes in place. It's a room full of people.
Well, then that, I think that's interesting because it shows that as much as they're trying to follow the structure of the government and rules of succession and the Constitution, that it really boils down to they don't have to. You know, they're saying she's the president because she was the next in line. But if she fucks up, they're going to say, well, no, I guess it doesn't have to be you anymore. Yeah. It is just people in a room.
Mm.
I think that's somewhat interesting.
I don't.
Roth doesn't think so.
I just don't care. I was more interested in seeing the Diane Lane, Amber Tamblyn relationship evolve with Amber Tamblyn being like obsessed with Y.
Mm-hmm. Because she thinks he's the key, the hope for the future.
So I thought that would put her on her side, but I just don't care. It's not, I don't know. I don't need the addition of Beth's group. It didn't add anything. It didn't bring, I don't know. It just doesn't do anything for the characters. It's like, we need to put action. We need action in this show. So let's just do this thing.
Right.
And then this hard-ass lady who seems to be in charge of it shoots Regina in the face and then can't deal with it. So obviously she's not like some sort of soldier or...
Right.
She seems like a phony. So now what do I care about this group? I don't know.
I even have a note here where I said this. I'm just gonna read it verbatim because this is my state of mind. Here's Kimberly, and it's almost like she brought this on herself, but I can't tell who the other woman is. And then Kim stabs her a couple of times and kills her, but she's alone with Christine. And what the fuck even happened? Like, I remember thinking, like, wait, what? What is? What?
I don't know. I'll tell you one thing that I did appreciate that would be different in any other show on TV is Beth is wearing the ski mask and Diane Lane still recognizes her.
That's right.
That's good. No, I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I was feeling a little ambiguity, like whatever these people are, the group that bombs the Pentagon, did at the end, was it like that Beth joined them to save President Lane? Like, is she a double agent or is she just like being nice to her?
I think she's adapting now that shit's gone down.
Like they had one plan, but things have gone this way. So,
yeah, I might as well try to get in good. I don't know.
Wyatt had a good week. You know, he's drinking a beer. He's dancing. Yeah,
we had to watch him. That's not a good week for us. Like, yeah, well, the character's having a good time, but we had to see that shit. I don't want to see that shit.
Smoking a joint, even though it might affect his sperm count.
He's so awful. He's so awful.
Yeah, my other note is
another reason why I don't understand why anybody would be interested in him.
Also, like, as the audience, like, he's like, oh, I don't want to bang you, lady, because he's still hung up about Beth, but we as the audience know Beth sucks.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, just bang this lady then. See what happens. She seems into it.
I feel so sorry for the lady, though.
Love the one you're with.
All right. Are we done? Are we done talking about why the last man this week?
I want to say one more thing. This is, my notes say that Nora mentioned red or green peppers. And are we meant to think that it was Nora's voicemail that was in the Hall of Voices? Or that seems like a pretty heavy quinky-dink.
Yeah, but honest, let's just say it was.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
What?
It was.
So the fuck what? Who cares?
I guess it's because they're geographically still pretty close to where everyone started, so I guess it doesn't make sense. But there was a moment where there was the booth at the Med Museum about survivors, rumors of survivors.
Mm-hmm.
And a woman was about to hand Hero a flyer and then didn't. I think that's when the shit went down or Hero got distracted. Clearly that was like a moment where we were supposed to think, oh, she's going to find out about why. But it wasn't, again, I guess I'm talking out both sides of my mouth because I'm saying like, show me that the flyer has Y on it. But last week I'm saying, you don't have to show me the name badge over and over again. So, yeah. I guess it was all right, but I don't know. And the Amazons have decided it's their goal to see if there are survivors so they can wipe them out.
Why?
Because they're...
For what purpose?
For the purpose of control. Of
you have
Roxanne
a big group of idiots
them.
That need to find people who are capable of growing food.
Right. They need to find a farm and tell them that they'll protect them. For food. A
group of idiots can only go so far.
Right.
The other thing is, if there's, just doing quick math, approximately 150 million women, and by Roxanne's count, hundreds of men, the problem is already taking care of itself. If you want to, like, for all practical purposes, men have been wiped out.
Right.
Like, that's it. It's done. It's over.
And for those 300... If you find one in the wild, he's not exactly going to be able to tap into the patriarchal systems that of
exactly
oppression.
Because there's 150 million of women and 300 men. So it's the problem is taking care of itself. You know what you need? Corn pops.
That's right. Water.
You need Clif Bars and Smart Water and whatever you need to sustain.
Oh man, what if all they had left was that Dr. Pepper that's only for men? They'd be fucked.
Oh, fuck.
Bummer. The next episode of Why the Last Man, which is episode 10 of season 1, and the last episode we'll be watching, is called Victoria, which, once again, I wonder if we're going to find out who the F Victoria is. Because we never found out who Neil was, did we?
Did we ever find out who Neil was?
I don't think we did.
Send a tweet out to What's Your Nuts.
Who's Neil?
Who's Neil?
So that's it for me. I have nothing more to say about this episode.
We really did blast through it.
Yeah,
so,
we did.
So Ben,
we had three storylines. We had all three storylines and nothing to say about
it. Didn't like any of them.
That's right.
Ben, what are you making for Thanksgiving today? Do you have any Thanksgiving responsibilities? Are you doing the cranberry sauce?
No, I have to clean off the dining room table. When my baby was born, my brother Zach gave me 1,000 origami cranes, and I have to say cranes slowly because my brain wants to say swans every time.
They're like construction cranes.
Right. It's not. It's Niles and Maris.
And not Frasier. Martin.
Not Frasier. That would be.
I was getting there. You got to build up to Frasier.
You know, there's only like 8 episodes more of Cheers than Frasier.
Oh wow!
It's kind of ridiculous, huh?
Yeah.
Frasier's a good show.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked episodes of Frasier.
Anyway, so, your brother gave you these cranes.
Gave me all these cranes, and
oh, for God's sake!
So I strung them all up and put with thread, needle and thread, and I put the thread through a piece of foam core. So I had all the cranes hanging down, and I put it up in the baby's room before she was born. And to carry out that tradition, he folded 1,000 cranes for Andy's upcoming baby. But he put the threading it job on us. You know, he did the folding, and it's time for us to do the threading. So one of the things I have to do today is try to get the 1,000 cranes off the dining room table so we can eat Thanksgiving dinner. And I also have a game of...
bring in a trash can and just swipe the whole table.
Our dining room table is completely covered on one half with the cranes project, and on the other half we're playing this board game called Space Base, which is a very piece oriented board game. It's got pieces and cards and stuff. So my other job today is try to figure out a way to preserve that game so we don't have to start over.
Do you just take a picture
photographs.
Of it?
And photograph
then,
will help, yeah.
And then put it away, and then recreate. And then put your kid on that. Say, hey, make this look like the picture once.
Yeah, she's gonna help me with that.
You gotta delegate that shit.
That's right. We went hot and heavy with games for a while. We've been doing a lot of gaming, and then lately it's just been so hard. We've played this game of Space Base for like a month. We've never finished.
I've never played a game that lasted more than 15 minutes tops. Game of Life is like probably the longest game I've ever played.
No Monopoly for you, huh?
No, fuck that shit. I don't got time for that. Trouble? I can do Trouble. That's a fun one.
Oh, with the Pop-O-Matic bubble?
Yeah.
Hey, Ryan, how much of the Santa's Village, I don't want to say jingle, spiel, how much of the Santa's Village spiel do you think you have committed to memory?
It's probably all in there. At this moment, I could probably do about like 30 or 40%.
All I can come
up with Pixie Pantry or the Good Witch's Bakery.
There you go. Yeah. It was on the news this morning. And it's like $60 a ticket to go to Santa's Village.
It's ridiculous. Yes.
I always thought that Woodsy Owl lived at Santa's Village.
Oh, you got them like mixed up?
They feel like they're shot at the same place.
Well, I guess yes, I know. I totally know which is the live action one where it's the guy in the Woodsy costume, that one. Mm-hmm. And they probably were aired back to back on Channel 11 when we were kids. So that's reasonable.
That makes sense.
So for those of you who don't know, there were a couple across the country, there were a couple Santa's Village theme parks, and they were kind of rinky dink. And the one by us is up in the mountains, which, as somebody who has theme park experience, is a bad place to put a theme park because it's only 2-lane roads. You actually have to make a left turn on a 2-lane road on a mountain cliff, like 5,000 feet to get into the park. And it's like around a blind curve. It's like the worst fucking thing. Anyway.
They should charge you for that part. That's a ride right there.
So it shut down, I don't know, like 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then somebody brought it back and like restored what they could, and then like added zip lines, and like hiking trails and shit like that. So after laying abandoned for like 30 years, I visited it when it was abandoned. It was pretty cool.
Famous Santa activities.
Like zip lining.
Zip lining.
Like a zip lining, yeah.
As he zip lines from house to house.
That's how it goes so quick. That's the secret.
Like John Cena in Fast 9.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking.
He zip lines across all of London, England. And it's like, dude, this is a movie about cars. Good getting one.
Yeah, what are you zip lining for? You're out.
The only thing that would cap it off if the CP leapt off the zip line and crashed in through a car window like Fred Flintstone at the beginning of the
Flintstones. Yeah,
just, and used his feet.
Yeah.
It'd be cool if they had a Flintstones version. A Fast and Furious, but like Fred is like Vin Diesel, but his feet are like super huge.
So it would just have really to be fast. All like cut up and bloody and shit from like all the drifting and shit, right? Like
maybe that'd be the joke. That's the joke is you do the trailer for Flintstones F9, Flintstones 9, and it's all car chases. And then the last shot of the trailer is just bloody feet.
Everyone's just putting their feet bloody in bombs.
You I'm excited. This a family, angry pterodactyl.
It's a Corona.
Oh man, so excited! I'm gonna make that somehow.
All right, let's work on that after episode two.
Yeah, I need if someone can get me a 5.1 sound mix of Attack of the Clones,
I think I can
have that delivered pretty quick.
I think I have that. I think I have it on my computer right now, legally.
Perfect.
Let me get that to you, honey. Didn't this
happen last time? You were like, "Oh, I know how to get rid of the audio," and then you never.
Yeah, and then I showed you how to do it, like in five minutes. The thing is, you should just talk to me more about the shit that's going on in your life. Ralph, yeah. Open up to me. Come on.
Oh, when we're done recording, I'm going to mention the shit I have going on in my life.
Oh,
it is not for the air, but it's the opposite of bad.
Oh, good. Ooh. I mean, oh, you, good is the answer.
By that, I mean good.
Well, should we deuce out of here?
Let's
oh, but I was saying I'm excited. What? I'm excited in 2 weeks. We'll be talking about the Beatles.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. You don't know how excited I am by this.
That's going to be good.
Yeah. We'll talk about that more. Oh, Ralph, didn't you go to Batuu for Life Day?
Life Day's on Wednesday.
Sorry.
Oh, I thought you meant Orthodox Life Day.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't. But I will. I'll be there on Wednesday. I'm very excited. I don't know if they're doing anything for it. I don't know if the people who did stuff, the fans that did stuff for it a couple years ago, are going to be there. But I do know that they have like drinks.
Drinks, and apparently they're putting up lights, but only at Disneyland's Galaxy's Edge, not Walt Disney World.
So I'll be there.
All right. Well, we'll hear all about that next week.
Right.
All right. Victoria. Let's just watch Victor Victoria instead. That's a good movie. Blake Edwards, Julie Andrews.
I haven't seen that since I was a kid.
Yeah, same here. And that was probably not an appropriate movie for a child to see.
Yeah, because I remember being very confused. Like, I still don't exactly understand what was going on there. She was a woman pretending to be a man, pretending to be a woman.
That's exactly it.
Okay, well, then I guess I do.
That's 100% it.
Glenn or Glenda or Glenn.
Hey guys, we're the Darmalars. Right. We used to talk about Lost.
Was that our pre-credit sequence?
We forgot to do the intro.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, it's fine.
Thanks for coming along. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah, well, we all have one more week of this.
And then we'll be doing some Beatles. That'll be fun. Yes. I want you to get back with us.
Ryan, did you come up with a cool Darmalars Beatles name?
Oh no, let me get on that. I've been ridiculously busy at work.
Obla D Dharma Lars. Is that a good one?
That's a start.
No, don't encourage him. No.
Okay.
We'll work on that.
We will.
Recording right. Stopped.
Thank you. Bye.
You want to do your outro, Ralph?
Oh shit. No, not really.
No. Okay.
I mean, I can.
Nah, that's fine.
James and Kirk. Might
definitely James, maybe Kirk.
All right, MIC. See you later, trash cans.
There you go.
KEY. Why? Because we last, you're man.
That's
MOUS. See you later, trash cans.
I like it. I think it's long, but I like it.
Right. All right. Bye.